My name is Kristen Perry from ArenaNet. I'm a character artist, and you're listening to Guildcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 18th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're recording on Sunday this week instead of Friday because I think we both had a pretty busy Friday, and you were learning how to change flat tires, right?
Oh, that was so awful. you know how you like hear it? You're driving down the road and you hear that noise.
Yeah.
And you just go, crap. So I had to find a place to pull over and start changing the tire. And I already made this little rant to you, so I'll make it very, very short. I got like halfway through changing the tire. I have my two younger kids with me, my 8-year-old and my 10-year-old. So I'm like on the side of the road, changing the tire, trying to keep them from playing in traffic. And then, of course, the big strong man pulls over. Can I help you, miss? And I'm like, well, thank you for calling me miss, first of all, because that was kind of cool. But I was like, you know what, I'm going to just haul my kids off the side of the road and be a big girl about it and let the guy fix it for me. So
yeah.
I had half the lug nuts off, and I was like, okay, forget it. Yes, go ahead.
Well, at least you weren't just like, crying in distress on the side of the road. Unless you were, and you're just telling us a different story. I don't know.
No, I'm not much of a distress crier. So awesome. I kicked some things.
Oh, okay. Well,
that was mostly just annoyance because I had been at my kid's school. It was grandparents' day, and we did the food thing. So I've got a fruit tray and fruit dip in the passenger seat. It's getting disgusting because it's hot.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to go home.
Yeah. Not fun for anyone.
No. So anyway, while we were supposed to be recording Guildcast, that's what I was doing.
And I was like, seriously, that's your excuse? And I was trying to make you still do it, but you were like, well, you know, Skype on my iPhone isn't working that well. No, just kidding.
I'm cursing a lot right now. Teaching my kids fun new words.
You're like, this is effing Guildcast.
Yeah. And I'm on the side of the road. So, and you were hanging with your kids. So probably under better circumstances than I was.
Yeah, I think so. No changing of tires or anything like that, so.
No, you didn't, like, teach the girls. Okay, look, you know what? Here's what happened to Ruby, so you girls are going to learn to change a tire now.
that's actually a good idea. I should do that.
You know. Yeah, my husband, I think he's thinking the girls maybe need a tire changing lesson. Because my son was awesome. He was, like, in there helping. This strange guy, he was like, can I help that for you? You know, I can push the lever on the jack if you want to. And the guy's like, fine. All right, so Guild Wars.
Yes, Guild Wars. Now, this is another one of those weeks, and whenever we have these, we're always... it's funny because we always still have enough news and enough emails and stuff to read, but this hasn't been a big news week for Guild Wars 2. No big reveals, no class reveals, no Mesmer reveals, nothing like that yet.
Yes.
But
Mesmer.
Yeah, there have been a few little tidbits here and there. There's a nice interview over at Kill 10 Rats we're going to talk about, and a little bit more information on their smartphone app, and we have 8 emails to read, so that will take up the bulk of the show, and I'm always excited to read emails, so keep those coming. So let's start this out and talk a little bit about that extended experience team project that they're working on for the new smartphone app. Yeah, we talked about this from PAX where they kind of revealed this, and I think it was last show we talked about PAX, and we said that they mentioned, you know, this extended experience team who's working on this iPhone app, and I say iPhone because at the time I think that's what it was called, but it's actually going to be for other phones, right?
Yeah, you can get it on the Android.
That's awesome.
Android, like it's one thing. You can get it on Android phones.
Yeah, the Android system. So we now have this official word from them, you know, a little bit more clarification, a little bit more information on what exactly this is going to involve. And I think it's very exciting because they're talking about not only what they're going to have at launch, you know, when the game launches, they're they're talking about what they're going to have, but they would eventually like to make it, like he said, as far as they can go with it. You know, take it as far as they can go. And does this mean playing the game on an iPhone? Probably not. I mean, it's but that's kind of a limitation of, you know, the hardware, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't personally want to play a huge, you know, game on a little tiny iPhone. Even, I mean, an iPad would be kind of cool, I guess, but I think that this is kind of a companion thing. A lot of MMOs are actually doing this nowadays, you know, having like crafting or especially auction house management on the iPhone, which I think is absolutely brilliant, you know, chatting with your friends on your guild and things like that. And these seem to be, it seems to be kind of the direction they're going with this iPhone app.
Yeah, but bigger and better. I think I said on, when we talked about it before, it's where most games are right now, they've got all of these functions that we're used to on a game that's not even launched yet, so I expect more.
Yeah, I mean, in that true ArenaNet, you know, method that they do everything, it's kind of, they can't just do it the same as everyone else, it has to be bigger and better, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we love them, right?
Yes, and that's a good thing, and that's, I feel like I should clarify what I say, I expect more, it's not like, you know, get on it, ArenaNet, do it now. I just, you know, we have learned to know that something better is coming.
Yeah. Now, what we also don't have a ton of information on this. We have some screens, which are pretty cool, some screenshots of it on the iPhone, and it shows, like, one of them shows the map, and it actually has a little icon. It says Fallen Ally, which I think is kind of cool. Like, it's almost like you can see, you know, where your friends, if they die or whatever, and you can chat with them. It shows a couple chat screens and the QWERTY keyboard that you can use, you know, on the iPhone. And I think that's pretty interesting. And also, I think one of the big things I think here is the fact that you can kind of keep tabs on your friends, you know, and kind of see where they're at. That could be definitely useful. I picture a lot of kids in school, though, you know, like kind of sitting in, you know, math class and just talking to their friends in Guild Wars. That could get dangerous.
Well, I don't know. It could introduce their teacher to Guild Wars. And she takes it away.
That's true. Yeah, she'll take it away and then... And then she'll make a character, and yeah.
You know, there's one, something that was kind of interesting, and I think a lot of people got very, very excited. If you look at the screenshot with the friends list, I don't know how closely you've looked at the screenshots, but if you look at the one with the friends list, everybody was like, oh my gosh, one of those icons, that's an assassin. There's an assassin right there. And it does look like a Guild Wars 2 assassin, or a Guild Wars assassin. It's not. It's a character from something else, so.
Oh, you mean the one with the red mask on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it shows the different, it even shows, like, there's the Char, there's a Norn. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but it's not the assassin.
Oh.
So, sorry.
Some of them have a question mark on them.
That but person?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a...
You know what? That, I'll bet that's our Mesmer.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm, like, squinting at the screen now, and I didn't pay much attention to it before, but if you look, the little icon square is there, and the black circle has been applied over
that
square. So.
It's like edited out, and it has a little question mark that they put. So somebody did that. They didn't want us to see.
Well, they didn't want us to see your Mesmer.
That's true. I'll let them surprise me, I guess.
Okay, but you have to act surprised.
Yeah, I'll act surprised. But I'm excited for this. You know, I'm a huge fan of being able to do this stuff away from the computer. Sometimes, you know, you can't sit in front of your desktop all the time or even your laptop or whatever. And, you know, if you're in the other room watching TV or, you know, doing something like that, I mean, I don't know why you would be away from Guild Wars. I don't know. But, so, you know, something pops up. Maybe your friends are like, hey, we're about to go do this dungeon. You want to join us? And you can be like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm watching Who's the Boss, and I've seen this one before, so, yeah, I can go help you guys.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I'm excited for it. It should be pretty cool.
I am, too. I kind of echo some people's concerns that, oh, my gosh, Guild Wars 24/7, and it's a little too much of a good thing, but I don't think that'll be really prevalent.
You mean people kind of concerned that we're going to get like overexposure to it?
Well, that some people will just never put the stinking thing down.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, sometimes you need to step away.
Yeah. I don't think that having an iPhone app will really help that or make it worse. I think that, you know, there are people who spend 24/7 in front of, you know, in the game and in front of their computer. So maybe this would be better because you can actually do it outside, you know.
Yeah. They're going to do it anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so anyway, that'll be interesting to see. I can't wait to see how far they take it.
Yep. So. All right. So this next little piece of news here, this was an interview done over at Kill 10 Rats with the Guild Wars Live team. And this was done by Ravius, who we've had on the show before. And it's a huge interview. I mean, it's huge because it has so many people in it. You know what I mean? It's like it lists the whole entire live team, and the interview is actually really large. And it's not like unmanageably large, but it's a nice sized interview. And there was actually, we were reading through this, seeing if there was any new information, and there was, wasn't there?
Yeah, actually, there were some little teasers. He asked a question. This was something that I really, really wanted to know. What's going on with Avenya? She has completely disappeared. We never heard what happened with King Adelburn in the War in Krita. I guess I should specify we're talking War in Krita here. Avenya went to try to rally King Adelburn in the War in Krita, and the last we saw, she was standing outside Ascalon City complaining that he was just basically a stubborn old fool and wouldn't do anything. That's the last we saw her. She's gone from that area now. And Kieran Thackeray has disappeared. So he was asking, you know, what's going on with that? Do we have anything else happening? And they did tease a little bit. He said, and I'm going to read a lot of this verbatim because it's just that good. The upcoming Kieran and Gwen content will be doing more than just resolving their story. It will also help bridge us into the new content in Cantha that will be coming. Which there was a ton of speculation that, you know, we were gonna find out what happened to Cantha pretty soon. When it's all said and done, players will be able to unlock a new hero from that content, and it's probably not what you expect. So I want to know. I am just watching for this like crazy because I love this whole Guild Wars Beyond. I love all of that.
Yeah.
And as for Avenya, she's not forgotten, but her story is on hold. It's part of something larger than just her disappearance that we're not ready to get into yet.
See, that's interesting, and it intrigues me, the whole, you know, the hero not being what we expect, because I could have a lot of fun with that. You know what I mean? Like, I could say, what was it I said?
R2-D2.
Yeah, R2-D2. I don't expect R2-D2, so maybe there's an R2-D2 hero, right?
I forgot about that until just now. Yeah, you were like, oh, I bet it's R2-D2. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You said, well, you didn't expect that, did you?
Exactly, right?
I don't know. I think probably people will, your first conclusion is that Kieran is your new hero. So I think maybe they're trying to hint, just settle down, it's not him.
Maybe it's like the ghost of Gwen or something. No, I don't.
Wait a minute, what?
You didn't expect that.
Yeah, you were correct. I kind of hope it's not Kieran. He kept jumping out of trees during the War in Krita stuff, and he would aggro like the entire freaking map and then be like, I'm here to help you. Okay, you know what? That's the opposite of helping. Get away. And take the aggro with you.
I thought he was a descendant of Gwen, not Alicia.
No kidding. I think he's got a little some of her her blood in there, something. But dude, seriously, he would just leap out of a tree right into the middle of a mob. And he was so pleased with himself.
That's like hard mode, right?
No, this is just idiot mode.
That's awesome.
So so we've got some new stuff coming up, and I absolutely cannot wait. And cool. I want something with another QR code, because I didn't have my iPhone when all of that came out before.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So
give me another QR code, so I want to play too.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we got teasers to some big stuff coming up.
Cool. I hope it happens next week, because it's been a while.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I need come on, you guys. I need something to write about next month. Help me out here.
Okay. I guess that's it. That's all we really had for the news.
Seriously.
But we did have some email here we wanted to read. And this first one, this one's kind of exciting for me because it's, he says don't reveal his real name, so I will not do that. But let's see. He says, greetings, guys. I was bragging to a coworker that I am in the Star Wars The Old Republic beta when he told me about Guild Wars 2. Hardly more than an hour of research, I was obsessed. Star Wars what? After absorbing all I could, I started listening to the podcasts. Without a question, you and Ruby are the best. Aw.
Oh, I love this guy.
Thanks for something. Yeah. Thanks for something cool to listen to on my drive to and from work. Stuff to discuss. Dynamic event griefing. Since the bosses in the dynamic events increase in power when more folks show up, what if a group of high-level folks came in to an event when where another group was already fighting and interacted with the event just enough to double the power of the boss, but did not help kill it? They just stood there, laughing, while the first group died to the now much harder boss. As a former Warhammer player that enjoyed the public quests, I really love the idea of scaling bosses, but this griefing idea concerns me. Your thoughts? Let's cover that before we get into his next idea. He has two topics to discuss. So essentially what he's saying here is griefing. Now, griefing is a big part of kind of the older style of MMOs, and what I think is ironic is that, you know, the original Guild Wars set out with the whole instance system, they set out to get away from griefing. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't want people to be kind of harassed and everything, so they want you to have your own little instanced version of quests and things like that, and that's the whole reason they did this. And now that they're going to a more persistent world, that concern is coming back. So I totally understand what he's saying. I don't know. I think I would tend to believe that ArenaNet isn't going to just completely abandon that original vision, you know, and kind of go, well, you know, people don't like the instancing, some people have said that they don't like the instancing, so we're just going to go back and accept the griefing part of it. But I don't think that that's really what they're saying.
No, and actually the specific scenario that he is bringing up here has been addressed, and they've looked into that because that is the most obvious. That's the most obvious scenario for griefing that you could come up with this dynamic event system. Mm-hmm. And what they have said, and this is, they got a little bit more into it, but at its very core, if you're not actively participating, this, whatever you're fighting, does not scale to include you in the battle. Mm-hmm. So you can come up, take a few whacks at the thing, and then back off. It's not going to, that's not enough participation to scale it up.
And that's good. That's definitely good.
Yeah, so that's covered. I think they're probably, and I have to wonder how much fun this is, I think they're probably thinking like griefers as much as they can and saying, okay, well, what if we did this? What happens if we do this?
Yeah, so. I can see that. And he mentions Warhammer. A lot of times when people talk about this new dynamic event system, you know, they always talk about public quests in Warhammer, and I've done that myself. Actually, it's funny, at that panel at Dragon Con, I was kind of not bad-mouthing, but I mentioned the fact that, you know, Warhammer had public quests, and they didn't really do it right. Dark Age of Camelot, actually, I think, had it first, but, you know, it's an example of how things weren't done right by Mythic, and so I was almost, I mean, I was mentioning that and almost kind of bad-mouthing it, and this guy came up to me afterwards, and he was like, hey, so I'm from a Warhammer fan site, and I'm like, oh god. But he was just asking me, he's like, I'm from this Warhammer fan site, what's your name again, do you work for NCSoft? And I'm like, no, I don't work for NCSoft, I'm just, you know, a dude who loves the game. And he's like, okay, because you were talking about the, you know, the Warhammer stuff, and I wanted to relay this information to the Warhammer community. And I'm like, oh no. But he wasn't saying, like, you know, he's gonna tell on me or anything, but I just thought it was funny. But I think that that's a really common connection. You know, when people think of Warhammer, they're just like, please, ArenaNet, don't make this like the Warhammer public quests, which were a great idea, but they were just not implemented correctly. So,
I don't think Mythic or Warhammer, I don't think it means they're bad or they did something horrible or they're, you know, stupid or whatever. Yeah. It's just that a lot of this development wasn't there yet when they developed the public quest system.
Yeah. So I would imagine that ArenaNet has paid attention to that and kind of learned from that out, you know. Do it the right way.
That's where good development comes from.
Yep. Okay, so the second little topic he has here, it says phone app available to Android as well. Woohoo! I have an Evo. Sorry, Ruby, that iPhone was a waste of coin. Oh.
I love my iPhone. That's okay. It's purely opinion. I love my iPhone so much.
Yeah.
It works well for me. Okay.
My contract ends in about 9 or 10 months for my iPhone, and I'm seriously, only because of AT&T, thinking about going with an Evo or something else. I don't know. But
Are you really?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we could talk about this all day, but it's just it's AT&T. It's completely AT&T. It's a horrible, horrible service.
I know. They tick me off so badly. Now, my husband's upgrading next week, and he's going to get an Android.
Oh, cool.
So we will be a house divided. I think you're a house divided, too,
yep.
aren't you?
Yep, yeah. We are. Yep. Okay, so anyway, he talks in this, he says, the game has an iPad/iPhone/Android app that allows you to stalk/interact with your friends while they're in the game. You can use the in-game chat system and view their characters moving around on the world map. Beyond that, and as far as pricing goes, ArenaNet isn't sure what they want to do with this app, but they want it to be part of the Guild Wars 2 experience in a way that doesn't make you pay a subscription fee or an exorbitant download fee. I think he wants us to discuss this, but we did earlier in the show. You know, we talked about that, and I think that it's a good thing. I like the fact that it's on the Android system now too. The Android platform, because I think that you know, the accessibility to more people is definitely the way to go, and more people are picking up alternatives to iPhones. You know, kind of there's like an anti-iPhone movement almost. You know, people, if something gets really popular, people kind of go the opposite way just for the sake of doing that. And but it's all about preference. You know what I mean? It's opinion and preference on what kind of hardware you like better. So. It's good that they're opening up that option.
Yeah, I was very, very glad to see. But, you know, in retrospect, I wasn't that surprised. I can't see ArenaNet just eliminating such a huge chunk of their fan base from this app, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, there are other, you know, there's the BlackBerry system that I don't know if it's going to be available for that soon or whatever, but I think that would be wise, too, to go to that. A lot of people have BlackBerries, so I don't know. We'll see. He ends it here and he says, thanks guys, keep up the good work. Imzodar. He has a little pronunciation guide here. Imzodar. I hope I said that right. Operations Officer of Dusk Till Dawn. And that's the guild. That's the name of his guild in Guild Wars.
Cool.
So very, very cool. Let's see. This next email says, this is from Ken from Chicago. And he says, hi Sean and Ruby. Following the email listing in the RSS feed, welcome back to Guildcast. I guess he's meaning like back from Guildcast 1. The painting style that Guild Wars 2 matches is Baroque. Think of the Renaissance paintings of Da Vinci, etc., that are notable for being very 3D. And he gives a link to the Baroque painting style in Wikipedia, of course. I mean, that's something... I went to art school, you know, I can't believe I didn't think of that before, you know, about that style that's used in the concept art. We were talking about that before, kind of trying to think of what that style is called, but Baroque, there you go.
I was a journalism major. I have no idea what any of you people are talking about.
Yeah, well, look where that art degree got me. I mean, here I am, talking about Guild Wars.
Right. But now you... can read his email with some sort of knowledge. That is what all that college was for.
Yes. That's...
I'll give you $50 to tell me where your diploma is right now.
Actually,
crap.
It's funny you say that because I was just packing up, you know, getting ready to move, and I found it the other day. For the first time in years, I've looked at it. So I do know where it's at now, but I didn't about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next email, this is from Neo Nugget, who we know and love.
Hey, hi Neo.
Says, hey Ruby and S-Dog, I just got done listening to the latest and greatest episode of Guildcast and heard you and Ruby talk about someone's idea of ANET announcing the release date. This is something I've thought about quite a bit, and knowing ANET, they will announce it in the most unexpected way possible. How do you guys think they will announce it? P.S., Sean, how come you didn't hide in Ruby's bag so you could go to PAX? I'm sure nobody would have noticed. She has way too many shoes. I couldn't fit.
Also, dude, he's 6'2". My bag was not that big.
So how do you think that they're going to announce it? We talked about this a little bit last show, kind of speculating on, you know, how we wish that they would announce it.
I cannot even begin to imagine. I feel like we were originally looking at a beta in 2008. How long have we been looking forward to this for years? They are going to have to do something big.
Yeah.
Well, I think they should come to my house with a copy of the game. That'll happen.
Yeah. I tend to think that they're going to announce it at a convention. Now, their two big ones are always Gamescom and PAX. Now, here's our three choices. We have PAX East, which they have said that they're going to. And that's in March. I don't think they're going to announce it as early as March. But if we think about, you know, Gamescom's in August and PAX Prime is in early September, holy crap. Like, I don't want to wait another year. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
It's too long.
So, I don't know. They're not big on stuff like E3. Actually, they really don't like E3 at all because it's this whole thing about becoming a member of that group that, you know, goes to E3 and big story. They don't go to GDC.
E3 is not for the fans, so.
Yeah, exactly. And neither is GDC. GDC is the Game Developers Conference. They don't go to that either. They have NCSoft there, but they don't really have ArenaNet there, you know. So I don't think it's going to be at GDC or E3. My guess is, I don't know. I would love to see something at PAX East, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I would too, but I am going to put my vote in for PAX Prime. Mm-hmm. Because, and I was just looking at this today, the past 2 years, the big reveals have been at Gamescom.
Yeah.
Gamescom 2009, we got the very first trailer. Gamescom this year, we got the first hands-on. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see them bring it back to their hometown.
I would love that too, but I've heard that they actually have more fans in Germany and more fans in Europe than they do in America. And I think that...
But I'm not one of them.
No, I know. Just like thrash metal, I think...
What?
I'm making a connection here. Just like thrash metal... The fan base has moved to Europe, so I.
What? Okay.
Just stay with me here. So yeah.
I'm trying.
I think that Gamescom might be it in August because I hate to say it, but they have a bigger fan base in Europe, and you know, it's not that we hate Europe or anything. It's just that we're not in Europe. I mean, if I could be in Europe, I'd love it. If I could be at Gamescom next year, I guess I should start saving up now, huh?
Yeah, we both need to think about that because if they're doing, I don't want to miss it again.
I know. It would be really cool. But yeah, I really tend to think it's going to be at a convention, and I think either PAX or Gamescom. And I'm really leaning towards Gamescom. Here's my prediction. Gamescom next year, they're going to announce the release date for it, and the release date will be by the end of the year of 2011. I think it'll probably be... just before Christmas, you know, October, November. That's my complete unaided guess. I mean, just out of the blue guess.
Gosh, that seems so far away.
I know.
All right, well, then I am going to hedge our bets for us, and I'm putting my prediction in for PAX Prime.
Okay.
Because I want to see them bring it home.
Okay,
and
that's
awesome. I think this, something this big, deserves Seattle. Where they are.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. It would be really cool. I really hope. I mean, either
Plus,
way.
Oh, they're going to want so many of the staff there. I mean, this is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
Well, they don't want to fly 50 people to Europe. I think at this point, I'm just trying to convince them. But no, I'm putting my prediction in for PAX Prime.
Okay. Well, we have a little while. We'll see. We'll see what they do.
A year. Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, if you think about it, they still have so many reveals to do. You know, they have so many classes to reveal still, and that's going to take months. They still have more of the blogs to reveal, you know, more on the mechanics of the game. They have beta to go through. So, I really think that that's a safe bet. Either Gamescom or PAX, I think, you know, toward that time of the year, end of summer, I think would be pretty safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think you're right. I mean, because what we've seen is so polished that we feel like, oh my gosh, this game is almost done.
Yeah.
But you know, something, and I wish I could remember who said it, but somebody asked about the guild system. Asked one of the developers, how is the guild system going to work? And they were basically like, you guys, we have nothing in place for that yet.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, you know, it's Guild Wars, so I will assume that they will have a guild system.
Yeah. So it sounds like they still have a lot to go.
Yeah, lots to do.
But they'll be done when they're done, right? When it's ready.
When it's ready.
Yep.
I think we should call the podcast that. Now, my ideal is still what we talked about last week, changing the website and just saying it's ready.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be fun. My ideal.
And so. Your ideal would be that they do that next week, right?
No, because I don't want to rush them. So that's just yeah. Do your thing, and I'm okay with when it's ready.
You know, when they announce this game, we're gonna have this sense over us. It's gonna be like, well, what else do we have to look forward to in life? You know what I mean? Like that's everything. That's everything we've been waiting for like 5 years.
And now we're not even gonna want to play it. We're just gonna want to buy the box and pet it for a while.
Well, that's why we should all buy two boxes, right?
Oh, yes. Well, I think I've said this before, there's three people in this house that are going to want collector's editions, so.
Oh, yeah. We are such fanboys and girls.
Huh? We are such dorks. I love it.
Okay, let's go to the next email here. This one is kind of long, I think, and it says, really, S-Dog is the one that's going to stick? Well, okay. Hey, Rubes and S-Dog, I'm glad to know that you liked most of my jokes. Oh, cool. This is the one who wrote the email. Grend, who wrote the
jokes. Oh, your
jokes
are so awesome.
It says, obviously I ran the gamut there, which is okay. Why is it okay? Because there just aren't enough Guild Wars jokes out there, bad or otherwise. I've got a quota to fill here, you know. Now I thought I'd start off this email with something serious and then move on to some speculation and finally end with something boring. But screw that. How about story time? The human gods have been silent for nearly 2 centuries, even the female ones, seriously. Get it? Anyways, they're gone, and they don't intervene anymore. They don't even care. Now you may be asking, but why are they gone? I'll tell you why.
Because you made that stupid joke about women. Hi.
I'll tell you why, so stop whining. It's a long story of love and loss and plot devices, a story that begins in the year 1000 BE. And this is a quote, like a excerpt here from this story that he wrote. It says, the scene is a dingy high school somewhere on the island of Or. Two boys stand to the side of the main hallway. GD and Balth. GD, a short, scrawny boy, stands obsessing over his collection of miniatures. Beside him is his good and lanky friend, Balth. Hey, Balth, what do you think of this one? Spurts GD. He holds up a miniature Asura. Looks kind of lame, don't you think? Replies Balth. Balth knows best. Balth is a good friend. GD nods and returns to his collection. Meanwhile, the great destroyer struts out of the principal's office, throwing a detention slip on the ground. He wears a brightly colored varsity jacket with the letters AHS emblazoned on the back. Yo, dwarfy, he yells as he spots his nemesis. Oh no, GD mutters. But it's already too late. The destroyer has him in a headlock. It is said that dwarves have a weak spot for noogies, which is unfortunate. The great destroyer delivers noogie after epic noogie, and GD can take no more. In the end, his limp body is deposited into a nearby trash can. Laughing, the great destroyer puts a wing around an AHS cheerleader and continues strutting down the hallway. Looking worried, Balth runs over to the pile of dwarf in the trash. It's not the first time. GD is his best friend, but he is helpless against this bully. Sorry, you know how it is, says Balth, as he helps the red-faced dwarf out of the trash. I'm sick of this, yells GD, as he dumps his locker full of miniatures to the ground. Slamming the locker door, he yanks one last mini from his pocket. Beams of light shoot from between his fingers, and he now holds a shining golden miniature dwarf in his hand. It's pretty rare. He holds it up to Balth's face. That guy is a dick. Oh. Can I say that? I'm going home to write in my journal. And then it says, to be continued. So this is like the story of the gods as they were in high school.
That's kind of awesome.
I like it. I want to hear more. I want Gren to write a book on it. It sounds like Sweet Valley High meets...
Hell?
You know, yeah, exactly.
Oh, I miss Sweet Valley High. Okay.
So he goes on here. He says, I'd like to leave you with a couple Guild Wars jokes. Yay. I think they will round off the email nicely. You may want to place a disclaimer here. Uh-oh. Wait. I need to read ahead here really quickly.
They could needed a disclaimer a minute ago.
Yeah. It says, what's the difference between a whammo and an assassin?
I give up what?
Whammos don't always wipe the party.
Oh, poor assassins.
Okay, and the next one. It amazes me how so many people blame the monks for their deaths. I really can't believe it sometimes. I mean, come on. Ritualist healers are just as, if not more, incompetent.
Oh. You know what? Xandra is a permanent member of my hero party. And Xandra does a very good job. She's my healer.
I think the disclaimer we should have added here was that please don't kill Grend.
Yeah.
Because he didn't put his full character name, so that's good.
There's a reason for that.
He'll have like a line of ritualists and monks just waiting to kill him.
Well, Xandra does a very good job in ritualist defense.
Thanks, Gren, though. Those are funny. And you know what's funny is we actually had some more... there's another email we have here, too, with more jokes. So you've inspired others, you know, to come out with the jokes. And some of them, they're really funny, too. But this next one we have, this is from Media Master 9000. Wow, sounds like a robot. He says, hello, Sean, and married girl with the infectious giggle. Who's that?
What the hell?
What's he talking about?
I don't know.
So anyway, I found the Guildcast Twitter page randomly and have since listened to them all in the last couple days while beating my head on the proverbial wall known as World of Warcraft. I have to say, I've truly enjoyed the banter, info, and theorizing regarding Guild Wars 2. That being said, I have some questions for you veteran Guild Wars 1 players, as well as interest in your opinions regarding Guild Wars 2 related topics. I'm wondering about how to best get into the original Guild Wars. Many years ago, I purchased the Prophecies campaign, but ultimately set it aside simply because I found myself overwhelmed by my lack of knowledge regarding the game, gear, ability mechanics, buffs, enchants, rune system, etc. For example, I hear the married girl with the infectious giggle talking... I don't know who he's talking about. talking about her love for her elementalist. But my Ellie seems to do less and less damage the higher her level gets, even when putting all of my skill points into fire. I end up putting the game away for a couple weeks out of frustration, simply because I don't understand the mechanics and have found little info to resolve my questions, even on Guild Wars Wiki. Since these podcasts are more for Guild Wars 2 than Guild Wars 1, not true at all, I'm really looking for an answer per se to the first issue. My main question is regarding Guild Wars 2. The depth and breadth of skills and combos in Guild Wars 1 was so immense that I feel like it was a tremendous negative for the uninitiated. Do you know or have you heard anything regarding Anet's plans to implement the same level of skill diversity in Guild Wars 2 as they have in Guild Wars 1? Thanks in advance for any consideration regarding this question, Media Master 9000. Do you want to take this one?
No. Oh, no.
Well, like a little
Why
bit of
help. Why do you give me the option?
A little bit of help with the elementalist thing.
Of course. Actually, I'm wondering if you have done the two attribute point quests. I assume that he started in Prophecies. Mm-hmm. I am going to suggest Massively has a guild. I always am like, ooh, you should just join our guild and that'll solve all your problems. Massively has a guild called Massively Overpowered. And there are a lot of people in there who just started Guild Wars in the past few months. So I will put that in the show notes, along with my character name. And absolutely, I'll give you my character name, and you can absolutely whisper me in-game, and I'll help you with anything I can.
Cool. That's really nice.
Hey, he's an Ellie. He is obviously a man of taste and discernment.
Okay, so what if someone wrote in and they said that they were, like, a necro? And they wanted. Would you be like, filthy necro?
Oh, no. You know how I love necros. A necro is my other main.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Sorry. you know, ask about a warrior, and I can't help you. I'm crap at melee.
Just, I think you just press 1 and 2 over and over again. I think that's how you play.
That's what I hear, but then, you know, 1 and 2, it's the slots are empty, so it doesn't do me any good.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But I will, no, I'll add the Massively Guild in the show notes, and I'll make sure, actually, the link that I'll put has my character name in there, so it's all the contact information, anything you could ever, ever want.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember having a lot of these problems, too. You know, that's one of the reasons I started Guildcast, you know, back in 2005, was because I got into the game hardcore. You know, I started playing it a little bit after launch, like only, I think it was only like 2 months after launch, and I just was, like, so into it, and I learned all this different stuff, and I was so amazed at how, you know, you could make these different builds. That was kind of the big thing for me, was making builds. You know, people out there figure out the most amazing things, the most amazing combinations on how to use skills together. And back then it was a lot of, I don't want to say exploits, but a lot of things that I think ArenaNet didn't think about. And, you know, like Iway and stuff like that, you know, was just, you know, you do this skill and then you do this skill and they work together to actually make you just severely overpowered or massively overpowered. and it's, you know, it's like works to farm and you know, play PvP and kind of always win at PvP. And that kind of stuff was fascinating to me, although I didn't really participate in a lot of it. I never made Iway or anything like that, but I was just fascinated by it. I was fascinated by how even after a skill balance, people could the next day think of a new thing that would, you know, and every time, like when Nightfall, or when Factions came out and then Nightfall came out, every time people created these skill combinations that were just amazingly overpowered, and I thought it was really cool. So that was always something that grabbed me at very first about this game, is that you can do these combinations like this, and it's just not like anything else out there. And so that's why I was like, hey, I need to, you know, spread the word and get this, you know, kind of talk about the game more, because I was fascinated by it. But what I did was I just, like, you know, you even talk about going on Guild Wars Wiki. I mean, sure, there's that. There's also forums where people, you know, you have to really hunt through the forums. People just have some amazing topics in there. In-game, join some pugs. Although I think that doesn't really work as much as it used to. I think when the game came out, pugs were amazing. You know, I think that's with any game, though. Pugs are kind of the people who, you know, the early adopters who kind of get into games and they really look forward to doing the best they can. Now I think pugs are more like, you know, you look in general chat and it's all like, give me money, or, you know, give me a weapon, give me this, give me that, and, you know, griefers and leavers and, you know, all that good stuff, which I think is just an evolution of a game community like that. Now, I could go on a rant about that, but I will not, so.
Well, but joining an old game is hard, and I don't say old game bad, in a bad way, because, you know, it's Guild Wars is an old game in the context of an MMO. Hmm. It's been around for 5 years. Obviously, I think it's still very, very good. The community is very, very active. The problem is 99% of them are veterans. And coming into this as a new player can be really overwhelming and really confusing. Even if you just go to the wiki or the forums, it's just like this wall of information, and most of it at this point is way over your head. So.
Yeah. Well, I think also what happens, now Guild Wars I think is a little special because a lot of people want to share information about it. No, I mean special in a good way.
Made me laugh.
People want to share information about it. They want to share their experiences. There are games out there where people will get together, they'll form their guilds, and a lot of times these guilds are from other games, and they'll kind of stay within their own little atmosphere, you know, their information trading and everything will stay within its own atmosphere. In Guild Wars, you don't really see that as much. You know, people are willing to share. And again, I guess LOTRO, I'll use LOTRO as another example here. LOTRO, when it recently went free-to-play, the community was amazing. You know, people came in and they were like, so, I just got this game for free, what do I do? And, you know, the veterans would come and, like, literally they had people there, just players, who would spend their entire days when it first went free-to-play, to just help people out, you know, and I think that was amazing. And I think that if that ever happened, if some big thing like that ever happened to Guild Wars, I mean, it can't go free-to-play because it already is, but that I would imagine the Guild Wars community would help out like that, too. You know, it's just that kind of game.
Yeah, absolutely. And the game mechanics themselves lend themselves to helping.
Mm. Yeah.
Just because you don't have travel time to deal with.
Yeah. So I think my main point here is that it's kind of hard at this point because a lot of the established players are in their own little atmospheres, their own little guilds, their own alliances and everything, and they're kind of doing their thing, you know, the best they can. But it's all these little microcosms of friendships and guilds and everything, and it's really, really hard to get into those. But, like Ruby said, you know, join Massively Overpowered. You know, I am her in game, and you know, she'll throw you an invite. And I think that that's one of those rare occasions in a game this old where you can still get into it, and you can still have someone who's been playing for years help you out. So I think that that's definitely a good suggestion.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to... I'm excited about bringing this guy in now, but I have to give my alliance credit. We are in probably one of the bigger alliances that are still in the game. Massively Overpowered is. There are 9 guilds in there and just hundreds of players. The guild that my main character is in this same alliance, and there are 95 people in that guild alone. And
wow.
There are 9 guilds. So this is, and it is absolutely one of the best groups I've ever come across in Guild Wars. These people love new players. They love to come in, you know, get in there and help. And we're excited to have someone new to the game at this point. So yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to getting this guy in here and helping him out.
I admit, I find myself so spoiled when it comes to this stuff. You know, I have a really good group of friends that I've played many games with. Lots of little groups of friends that, you know, I've played Guild Wars with, especially, and I've had different characters in different guilds, or different accounts in different guilds. And when we switch to a new game, you know, I'll follow them to the new game, and it's always been like that. So I think I'm a little spoiled when it comes to that. But once you, you know, there's a world of difference, a huge world of difference between playing by yourself and playing with a good group of friends. I find that I actually learn more, though, when I play by myself. You know, I learned a lot in Guild Wars when I, you know, the first few months when I just played completely by myself. And it was kind of nice to learn it like that. But at the same time, I mean, you need that support group. So I think that that's it's definitely a good thing, definitely a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll put those in the show notes. I can't wait to hear from you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so the next email here, it says, Ruby and Sean, longtime listener, first-time emailer here. Regarding people not saying hello at PAX, I think everyone at PAX is a fan first, and they're in any kind of professional capacity second, which is what makes PAX so awesome. With how frantic PAX seemed to somebody like me, who was just there with no goals or to-do lists, it seemed reasonable to think that journalists were much, much busier trying to both get hot scoops and enjoy themselves. I felt a bit bad just butting in and asking if Ruby was from Guildcast and saying that I enjoyed the show when she was at a table with ArenaNet folks, but I have never... But I have never let being a little rude stop me. Everyone else at PAX seemed really polite and considerate. So, Ruby, I would blame that for the lack of fan interaction.
That was you? Ah!
Oh, so that happened?
Yes, that happened. I think I told you about this when I came back. That seriously made my whole day. I was, Larry and I had, like, hobbled our poor sore feet over to a table in the cafe on the exhibition floor. This was like the best thing that happened to me all day. And we were sitting there eating and chatting, and I think, I'm trying to remember who, I want to say Kristen Perry and her husband had stopped by, and they were hanging out, and we were just talking, and a little group of people walked by. This one guy paused, kind of looked over, pointed at me and said, Guildcast? And I said, yes, and he was like, cool, and he walked off, and like, for the next hour, I was grinning. It was so neat.
That's cool, though. I mean, and I can see, and it is cool to see the kind of the other side of this, because I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, you don't want to bother people. I'm the same way. I'll see people. I remember a lot of, you know, times I've seen people, and I just didn't want to bother them, you know what I mean? And but I don't know how, I'm sure they would have reacted positively and been like, hey, you know, thanks for saying hi, you know, kind of thing. Like, and like you said, you know, it made your day, and he probably didn't even expect that or didn't realize that.
You know? Oh, my gosh. No, thank you so much. I was so glad you even said that. That was so much fun.
That's awesome.
And to, you know what, the other thing, though, I was, like, starving to death at that point. I had not eaten since the night before. And if he had stuck around another 30 seconds, he would have seen me, like, shoveling food. So, and it would have been gross. So that was cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was seriously like the best thing that happened to me all day. And that was the same day that the Game Crush girls stopped by the table. So.
Oh, yes. The story that we cannot tell.
Right? We can't tell that story, but it was a very funny story. And this was just as good.
Okay, so his email goes on and says, since I'm here typing, I figure I may as well sound one alarm that I took away from my Guild Wars 2 time at PAX. My girlfriend had a really good idea Friday morning to get in line for one of the NVIDIA 3D setups at the ArenaNet booth. It turns out the lines for these systems were considerably shorter because the NVIDIA technology was terrible. It gave my girlfriend a headache and didn't fit around my normal glasses at all. The effect itself was neat initially, but eventually proved to be too distracting and took away from the otherwise beautiful environments. Playing with the double vision and blur that resulted from taking the 3D glasses off was much more enjoyable about 10 minutes into the demo. The combat and mechanics were awesome, but I would avoid the 3D effects in Guild Wars 2 at all costs. Thank you for producing this great podcast, and please keep up the great work, Matt, a.k.a. Trader Magnus. There you go.
Oh, Matt is like my favorite person of the whole week. I wondered so much who that guy was because it was so neat.
There you go.
Okay, so. I'll quit ranting. Sorry. It really was awesome, though.
Yeah. No, that is cool. I like that he wrote in. You know what I mean?
Me too.
You can kind of hear. So it wasn't just like a random person. And like he recognized you, which is crazy because I guess. On Massively, we had your picture up, right?
I don't know, but you know what? I do need to know. How did you know that was me?
You're okay, like, no, seriously.
No, really, I was so curious. Are you messing with my webcam again? Did you turn it on?
Yeah, I actually make a lot of money on that, so let's not.
We have talked about this more than once. Okay, so the 3D thing, I want to chime in on that really quick, just because I got to play with that a little bit, too. I can see what he said, what he is saying, because it was pretty cool for a little while, and I got a kick out of it, but I think the intent here, that was NVIDIA's party. That was not Guild Wars 2's party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was to show off NVIDIA's technology, and I viewed it as a cool novelty. I didn't view it as a serious factor of Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
So I don't...
It's not really a Guild Wars 2 thing, though, right? I mean, he's saying avoid that part of it, but I don't think it's a Guild Wars 2 thing. I think it's just this hardware. It's an NVIDIA thing, right?
Yeah, it's NVIDIA showing off. They wanted to show off their technology that I guess with what they have to offer can turn anything 3D.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just happened to choose Guild Wars. It was pretty cool, but it's not really a factor for Guild Wars 2 overall.
Yeah. These conventions are doing this a lot more, where they're kind of teaming up like this. Alienware always has a huge booth at like E3, and they'll have a lot of different games there, you know, smaller games. I did an interview with people from Need for Speed World at EA, and they didn't have a booth themselves, but they actually kind of used one of the Alienware stations, and I felt embarrassed for them because the computer kept crashing. It was a laptop.
Ouch.
And it wasn't anything they were doing, so they had to keep telling the Alienware person to come over and kind of fix it. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Like, it might seem like a good idea at first, and this email is actually a perfect example. It might sound like a good idea at first to kind of, you know, marry the two, the show off the technology and the game, but in the long run, you know, like Matt said, he was really, I think, under the impression that this was a Guild Wars feature that wasn't working well for him, but I think in the same way, you know, a lot of times people will kind of associate those to the game and that hardware, especially if the hardware doesn't work that great. So I don't think that's maybe the best idea. They're kind of playing around with that, you know, at conventions, but I don't know. I don't think that's really the best idea.
I don't think it is unless they make it extremely, extremely clear whose show this is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think maybe the problem here was that it was not clear enough that this is not a Guild Wars 2 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, I was excited to have the opportunity to see it in 3D. Again, it was a cool novelty. When we took out the Earth Elemental at the beginning, the wheel, I don't know how much you watched or how much you remember, but at the end of the tutorial, you take out this Earth Elemental, and he's got debris flying all around him.
Yeah.
He's like made a little tornado. And when you kill him, all of that stuff explodes out, and like a wagon wheel flies at you and knocks your character silly. And in 3D, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got the opportunity to see that, but maybe it needed to be clear that this was not a Guild Wars 2 feature.
Yeah. Personally, I think this whole gimmicky 3D thing is really stupid, but that's my opinion. We've been watching, every other movie now is in 3D, and you have to pay, you know, $400 more to watch these things, and there will be like three things that pop out at you, and it's like, all right, okay. Like, it was cool in Avatar, but yeah.
I feel like I didn't see Avatar in 3D.
Oh.
Maybe that was, someone told me, was Toy Story 3 in 3D? I can't remember, but somebody was like, do not pay the extra, it's not worth it.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, yeah.
The only really, really, really good thing I've seen in 3D was when we went to Disney World and saw PhilharMagic.
Oh.
So that's the only superb 3D I've ever seen.
But for games, I think it's kind of cool. You know, they have 3D monitors where you don't need glasses, and then they have, you know, the ones with glasses, and then they have, like, headsets that, like he's talking about, and I don't know. I just think it's a little impractical.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of impractical, that was the other thing. The batteries died in my glasses like halfway through. Or whatever was powering my glasses. I'm kind of looking around, and, you know, I felt like the Emperor's New Clothes. Because everybody else is ooing and aahing, and I'm kind of going, it, like, just got crappy all of a sudden, but nobody else is saying anything, so I don't want to... And I finally was like, okay, you know what? I don't think this is working for me. And someone took my glasses. I can't remember who it was, but they were like, oh, the battery died or whatever. Oh, so there's the issue.
Awesome. Well, let's
clunky for general gaming, though.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Okay
let's move on to this next email. It says, hi, Sean and Ruby. Actually, it says Ruby and Sean, but I don't know.
You're just going to start changing them, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to start changing. It's Rob again. Those jokes from last week's Guildcast were so good, I thought I'd give it a go myself with some Savari jokes. So, did you hear the one about the Savari who sued the Norn over that beehive business? Apparently, the courts ruled in favor of the plaintiff.
Oh.
Get it?
Oh, yes.
That's kind of funny, actually. I like groaners like that. That's kind of funny. Or what about the Savari who chose the Asura to group with rather than the Norn? Their small stature means that they're closer to the flora. Get it? Flora? Fauna and flora?
Yes, I get it.
I like the first one better. So at the very least, you must have heard the one about the Savari Necro who would bring herself back from the dead. Get ready for it. She was a self-rising flower. Self-rising flower, F-L-O-U-R.
Oh.
Flower, F-L-O-W-E-R.
That's awful.
That's awfully awesome.
Exactly. So bad it was good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's quite enough of me. Do you think the Mad King has any openings on his writing staff? All of my best to you both, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
I know ArenaNet listens, so hopefully they'll take at least one of those.
Oh, definitely.
And the ones from Gren, too. I hope we see some.
I love Gren's jokes.
Those are awesome. I think that should be a new tradition here on Guildcast. People should write in their little Guild Wars 2 jokes. And they always involve Savari. Like.
Well, everybody's fascinated with the Savari because they're new and cool.
Yeah. Okay, so for this last email, this actually was just sent in today, last night. It says, Dear Sean, this is pretty late, as I've just been made aware of Guildcast, and I'm catching up a bit, but you don't have to worry about this 12 hours of gameplay in between the human and char content shown in the demo from episode 16. Actually, as a side note here, a couple other people wrote in to me about this too, and they said that is a, because you and I were figuring it out, we're like, you know, trying to kind of discover what, you know, what this 12 hours was supposed to be, and then kind of spreading it across the entire game, and then going, hey, it's only going to be 120 hours. A lot of people wrote in and were like, no, that's not what it's supposed to be at all. It's just, you know, that was just the demo time, and it, you know, has nothing to do with the actual game. So, anyway, He goes on, he says, I'm pretty sure that the dev meant that you would have had to spend 12 hours playing the demos in order to see everything in them. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I've heard 90 minutes thrown around from the time it takes to level to not feel like a grind. 90 times 80 would make for 120 hours minus the quick levels in the beginning for maybe 110 hours of gameplay to reach level cap. Much better than 20. Yeah, that's what it was. As we were saying, it was supposed to be like 20 hours, we were thinking. And he's saying it's more, I mean, kind of some rough math there, you know, figuring out that it's 120. Other people have said other things. Again, this is one of those things. This is from Garant, I think is how you pronounce his name. So thanks for the email. But this is another one of those things that I think a lot of people are talking about. But you can't really go from that, I think. You know, nothing official has been said. This is how long it'll take to, you know, to play this game. Because it's an MMO, first of all. So there is no real, you know, beating the game. There is no finishing the game. You know what I mean? So it's not, I mean, as far as the leveling, getting to level 80, you know, it's all different play styles. I mean, I'm certainly not going to be the one who, you know, rushes through and just does the storyline stuff, just to level as fast as I can. And you know what I mean? I just want to enjoy the game, you know?
Exactly.
So I don't care how long it takes me. It's just, it's going to be the journey, you know, not the end result of how many hours it takes.
Well, plus you have 40 characters to make.
That's very true. And, yeah, so whatever that final tally will be, multiply that by 40.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm with you. Honestly, I don't want to get in a big hurry to get it over with. That's kind of counterintuitive to all of this that we've been looking forward to. Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of something like an MMO. You know, you don't have to worry. I mean, sure, it's fun to beat a game. You know, I just recently beat Mafia 2, and it was one of those games where it was like, wow, it was a pretty cool storyline, and I'm glad I beat it, and it was rewarding, you know, and things like that. Even in that game, you can go back and do other things. There's all these little side quests you can do and things like that, but that's not even close to approaching the content in an MMO. Yeah. You know, in an MMO, there is no endgame, and that's the beauty of it. You know, you join together with your friends. I mean, look at Guild Wars 1. You know, it's 5 years now, 5.5 years that it's been going, and people are still doing the same stuff, you know, that they did before because they're doing it with their guild, and they're having fun. And that's all there really needs to be about it. You know what I mean? I think maybe, I don't remember exactly how far we got into this whole talk about 12 hours of gameplay thing in that episode, but it's just one of those things. I'm really not, I don't know if I came across this way, but I'm really not concerned with it at all. You know, I don't really care if it takes 120 hours to get to level 80 or if it takes 20 hours to get to level 80. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm still going to play it, you know,
well, yeah.
In other ways anyway. So
right.
So there's that.
So there.
Yeah, take that. No, So thanks for the email. It's one of those topics that did come up a lot, and it was pretty popular. I got a lot of responses from it, so I thought it was important to kind of talk about this, even though it's been a few episodes ago, but it's been a hot topic.
It's so relevant.
Yeah. So I think that's all we have for this episode here, and I definitely encourage everyone to write in and send us more emails. We can talk about, you know, it's always nice when there's no news, we can kind of cover these emails. We try to do it every show anyway, but it's always nice to hear from you guys and kind of know what's going on out there, because, you know, Ruby and I are two people, and, you know, we have our own little our own little bubble here of what we know and what we talk about, what we like. And, you know, people have said this before, we tend to agree with each other on pretty much everything. So that's why I like to hear other opinions. You know, if you don't like something, let us know. You know, if you think that something is a horrible idea, let us know. We'll read it on the show and kind of you know, tell you you're wrong. No.
Stop.
We'll talk about it like that and discuss it a little bit. I think, you know, we've had a lot of people ask us for discussions, you know, discuss this, discuss that. Mm-hmm. So I think that people are interested in hearing not only what we have to say about it, but even the follow-ups, you know, weeks later on what people think. So.
Yeah, and more jokes.
Yeah, definitely more jokes. Those are always funny. Even though we've grown... Yeah, we groan at these things, and we, you know, we say, oh, that's horrible. But we actually do love these. I mean, I am such a corny joke person. I love them. You know what
Dad
I mean?
Dad jokes.
Yeah, so I love them. So, yeah, definitely write those in. I think they're hilarious. And like you said, Halloween's coming up. We got the Mad King coming up. And we're going to be bombarded with some really corny Mad
Well,
King
you know, I think I'm just right there with you on the corny jokes. My absolute favorite joke every year, I love when the Mad King tells the Paragon joke. So,
oh.
And that is like the stupidest joke ever.
Yeah.
But I love it so much, and I look forward to it every year. So maybe he will get a new one in his little joke lineup this year, and maybe we'll know it already.
That would be awesome. That would be cool. Well, cool. So, yeah, send those in to either Sean at guildcast.com, S-H-A-W-N, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, guildcast.com. Check out our Twitter page where I announce whenever there's a new episode. That's kind of what I've been using it for mostly over at twitter.com/guildcast. And then there's, of course, our Facebook group. We have a little group of fans on there. And since they changed it, it's now a like. You have to like it, not become a fan. So so there's that. Yes, and then so the webpage is at guildcast.wordpress.com. And I call it a webpage. I sound like
Dad.
Sound like my aunt or something. It's a website at guildcast.wordpress.com. So definitely check that out. And that's where we have the show notes that we always talk about. So you can find out a little bit more information about each show and what we're actually talking about. So there you go. So I think that's it for this week, and we will try to be on time next week. We say that every time, but we will.
All right. You know what? We are going to record Friday, all right? I'm saying this right now, and you are not allowed to cut it out.
Even if you have a flat tire?
Even if I just will leave the house on Friday.
That's what I do. I mean, I just don't leave the house, and it works out well. So.
Somebody, I'm going to be calling my friends. Can you bring my kids home from school? Why? I can't leave.
It's for Guildcast. What?
Just do it, okay? All right, we are recording Friday, I promise. I will make Sean do it.
Yep, and we will talk to you then.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.